Welcome back, everybody, to the First and Soul podcast, where we're continuing our coaches and community tour. I'm Bo Goss, alongside my good buddy, Tracy Black, and we're excited and super excited to be where we're at today, Tracy.
No doubt. We are a couple of weeks out from football season. Just finished up our fourth annual media days, where we brought 57 teams to the stage over a two-day period. Just an outstanding event. But yeah, man, today we've been spending it over in Huntsville. And man, our next guest, I know it's real special to you because you're an Auburn fan. So I'm going to let you welcome him to the show.
Well, I'm super excited, and not just because I'm an Auburn fan, but we're on the campus of Columbia High School here in Huntsville. And I'd like to welcome to the show Coach Sammy Coates. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thank y'all for having me. I'm excited.
Man, we are super excited to get to meet you. I'm sure that your phone is probably blown up since you've taken the job. We're not here to talk negativity today about Sammy Coates or Columbia High School. We're here to just say hello, talk about Paul. How things going?
It's going good. We got a lot of excited projects going on. We got Gatorade is going to sponsor us this year. Good documentary. It's going to be a lot of good scenery for these guys. Just positive stuff. Highlighting just kids, you know, keep fighting and all the stuff they ain't been through. And they still willing to come out here, show up every day during the summer. I average 30 players during the summer. That's huge in high school ball every day. So, they buying into what my vision is. And that's the most biggest thing for me is seeing them buying in and understanding this discipline and the details and just loving the game again. It's the biggest thing I see in them.
Ooh, that's good.
I did like that. Loving the game again.
Loving the game again. And Coach, we were talking a little bit before we got on air. So you were coaching college in Virginia. And then take us on a little journey from Alabama. You played at Auburn, was drafted to the Steelers, spent a few years there, then got into coaching. Take us on a little bit of the journey on what you went through to get to where you are today.
You know, just the different atmospheres, the different coaches' minds, the way certain people run organizations. You learn a lot, but you pay attention to a lot of things not to do, especially in college. College is one of those things where it's hard to, like, balance out the different personalities at college, because guys come from different backgrounds. Like in high school, you typically get the same group of kids that's from a similar background, sure, maybe one or two. But here, when I was at college, it's like, it's kids from New York, this kid's from Virginia, this kid's from Louisiana, this kid's from California. So you got different personalities. You got to know how to relate to one person, then you got to talk to him different, you know. So it's all about mixed personalities. How do you handle mixed personalities? When you're in high school, you kind of can talk to all the kids the same way because they have similar backgrounds.
Sure.
The biggest thing I took away from coaching at college is this, you know, sometimes you got a lot of help. You can't think you're the big dog coach. And a lot of coaches get a little cocky once they get on those head coaches' job and they will or the highway. And as a player that played in different levels, it's kind of hard to do that because I might relate to the star running back better than the head coach does. And I'm a position coach. But it's sometimes the ego gets in the way in coaching. That's why you don't have a lot of teams winning national championships. Usually the same teams. Then you watch those teams that win national championships. You see what other coaches go and be successful. It's like their minds work together and those teams be successful. But when you try to do it on your own, it shows up.
Yeah. Wow. I can tell you, let's say I'm a young man, guys, and I'm 15 years old, 16 years old. Having someone like Coach Sammy here, Coach Coates, whatever you'd like to go by, yeah. Coach, who has been at a school in South Alabama and had the experiences that you've got to experience, I would listen. And what I mean by that, you, when you're talking to a player or even a student in the school, they know that you kind of been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the video, and I can tell you the roadmap and how to get there because I've been there. Yeah. Is that easy for you, or is that just another obstacle that you have to overcome?
It depends what level you're at. When I was at college, it was kind of like, why he's saying that? Like when I would tell someone, you can see the looks Then when in high school, it's like the eye is so big, they're trying to soak it in, which I tell them all the time. So I wish I had somebody that made it to the level I made it to coaching me in high school. So I can get, like, just like you said, the blueprint, like the effort you got to put in, the time you got to put in, the sacrifice you got to give up to be at that level. And a lot of people don't understand it. It's bigger than football. I say the same thing whenever I do an interview or I'm talking to people that ask me why I did this. I said, football has not changed. You got to score a touchdown. You got to stop people from scoring a touchdown. The X and O's have not changed. You might got a little faster. You might got a little spread it out. You know, but what's changed about it? The goal is still the goal. Stop you from scoring touchdowns. But the detail, the time you got to spend, like, sharpening your craft, that's what went away from the game. You got everybody trying to teach kids how to do drills. The drills don't help you in a game. Game activities help you in games. The environment of a game environment. So that's why I like when I watch these videos of people training. They doing all these different movements. That ain't got nothing to do with the actual football game. The knowledge, the understanding of why you're doing this. Why you want to slow down and go fast out of your break? Why you want to do this, slow down in the middle of a 2 minutes cover two, you want to sit in the hole, not keep going. The details of the game is missing now. Everybody want to do one-on-one battles. That ain't football. That's why a lot of guys look good, but they team suck.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a team sport. You got to be on the same page with 11 people, not one person outstanding everybody, because I can double team your best wide receiver and I'm going to win the game.
Yeah.
So it's about the details that's lacking in sports these days, and that's where it's going. It's like, it's going away from just understanding what football is. Now it's more or less, who can I make be successful? How can I make that one superstar? And that's where it's at, and I'm different.
Dude, that was awesome. Can you see it in his face and in his eyes?
Oh, yeah.
You're excited, aren't you, Coach?
My thing is, I want these kids to learn how to work together. I got some star players. Okay, they can't be star players. Let's say five linemen know how to do the five plays we need to run or the six plays we need to run. They're not on the same page. We want to do the wrong thing. That star player can get hurt. See, it's just the details that's lacking a lot of times. Because I like to watch film. I'm a film study. I'll watch and break down film till I can't no more. And I can find out when you're lacking details or lacking discipline. The one guy do his own thing because he just think he's better than everybody. I find that guy and I attack him. So I'm that guy, I'm looking for your weakness and you're not fixing it as a coach. That's what I look for. I don't try to out-scheme the coach because football is football. I'm out-scheming that losing player that got that losing mentality and I'm attacking over and over and over again. And so they fix it. In high school, they don't fix it. They fix it next game. In college, they fix it at halftime. In the league, they got to fix the next play. See, I know those things.
Wow. It's good. That's like, some good stuff.
It's just a different world. Like, people don't understand, like, that's the game, the level.
So I'm going to quote a coach that we just talked to a few weeks ago. And he says, the star of the team is the team.
1,000%. If you got a team for the guys, the individuals, you just got some guys out there playing street ball. But you got 11 guys playing as one team, you got a chance to beat a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's just not football. That's in the hallways. That's in the locker room. That's when I walk in and the toilet's been flushed. Or it's the trash on the floor. That's the football team. Those are the things that separate teams and champions. I can put anybody on a team, but they in that championship mindset of doing the little things over and over again. Clean up the field. Don't let the coaches pick up anything. You know, listen to a teacher. I don't care if it's a janitor to tell you, you know, open the door or pick up a trash. Those little things carry over to the field on game day. See, if they do that, they don't do the little things like that. How they going to listen to you with the big things you need them to do on Friday nights and with all the people there in the lights on and the pressure's up? How they going to handle those moments? You know, and that's what I coach like. I coach inside those moments. Like, what are they doing when we not playing football? What are you doing as a team? If that person get caught by a teammate, is that teammate correcting him outside of football? That's going to tell me what I have. Because that means they're going to correct him on the field. That means they're going to correct him on the sideline when they talking back or when they getting out of character. That's just when you win games. When your team can do stuff the coach don't want to do, that he don't need to be doing, that's a football team. And that's what I'm trying to build.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, that is incredible. Let me ask you this. All right, so you said earlier, you said you got here around March. And I know you've had to think about this. When you look at the issues that the program's had over the last several years and how hungry I know some of these players have got to be in the community and everybody associated with Columbia, what do you think that feeling would be like the first win you get?
I think it's going to be mean more to the players that's been here 3 to 4 years, like going in their fourth year. And also, I think it's going to mean a lot to, you know, those parents that's been sticking it out with these kids. And for me, it's bigger than a win. It's just the fact they understand that that's what it's a chance, you know. And when I listen to them talk and I try to explain to them, it's bigger than a win. It's about what you had to do to get the win. That's how I look at it. What did you go through to get that win? Not what you already passed. I'm talking about this summer, like this summer. What you go through to get that win? How you had to go pick up a teammate? How you had to go take a teammate home? See, the biggest problem they had was guys weren't showing up.
Belief,
like, when you instill, like, hey, I know you good, but I need him here too. I need him to believe just like you believe in. And the way they've been buying in and having each other back, and one kid can tell the kid you're doing something wrong, he sit there and take it and fix it. That's when I know I'm doing the discipline right. That's when I know the details are being paid attention to. That's when yesterday, I told him, I sent him a text message. It's like, the locker room was the worst I've ever seen it since I've been here. Kids text back, coach, I'm so sorry, that was on us. We just excited to be back at practice. One of my seniors said, he said, it'll never happen again. The way he approached that question, it wasn't like, he came in like, coach, well, we didn't think we had. He came with manners. He came with respect to me and the approach the situation like you're supposed to approach it. And he knew it was wrong. And the way he answered me told me they already ain't grown.
He owned it.
He didn't have to. It could have been somebody else. Like, the senior stepped up and did it. And that told me where we going and the direction we're moving in.
I'm enjoying every minute of this. I am soaking it all in, coach. And let's go the career that you've had. Is there a certain coach or a certain parent, friend's dad, your dad? Is there a certain family member that has made the impact that you would like to pay it forward for?
It's so many names. My dad passed when I was 8 years old, so sports was like that place where I went, you know. And I had a lot of great coaches. Denny Powell, he's in the Hall of Fame in Alabama. Coach Braun, he was my baseball coach. Casey Rowe, he was a guy that just was there for me. Even to this day, he's there for me. Sharita James, Edward James. I can go down the list of people that was just there when my dad was absent, you know. And sports, every coach I ever had always put something in me. And it wasn't just football. It was just the way they would talk to me. They'd say, if I need something, come to me. Like, it was just those little things you would think don't mean any other, like any other person, but it meant something to me because I didn't have that father figure. I didn't have that person I can go to after a game. You know, I remember times in high school where I used to take myself home. I thought I just scored 4 touchdowns. You know, nobody congratulated me. Good job. Like, I didn't have that, like, at my home. Like, nobody was there after the game taking me to go get food. I thought we just had a big win. I won 4 championships in high school. Like, it was so many times in baseball. I had 2 playoff games where I pitched a no hitter, and I went straight home. You know, I ain't gonna celebrate that. That's something you celebrate.
Yeah.
You know, so football and baseball and sports, people that's been involved in my life have impacted me because they was those people that did that. Sometimes, you know, asking me, I need anything. And if it were for sports, I would have never had that. So I would say the coaches impact my life. The people that was at Leroy High School, the whole town had my back. Everybody always showed me love. It's special to know that I did the things I did, and I had so many people that had my back. Especially a kid like me that, you know, didn't have what you normally wish you had as a kid. You know, everybody want their father to go out there and play catch with them. I missed that one though, you know. Like, I didn't have my father to play catch with him for a long period of time in my life. I always wanted my dad to correct me when I did something wrong. I didn't have that, so I had to find it somewhere else. So when a coach told me something, it was like, dang, that means something. Like, you wanted to listen, you wanted to soak it in, you know. I shared a story about when I wanted to quit baseball, because my dad, the reason why I played baseball, like, he was the reason why I did any kind of baseball. I was really good at baseball. And one summer, my coach from high school, Coach Braun, we were playing summer ball. You know how summer ball doesn't matter. Like, you hated playing summer ball. It's like 2 games, 3 games sometimes. So one day we had a summer ball game, and I said, I'm not going, because I really didn't have a ride, so I wasn't going to walk. So I was like, I ain't going. I get a knock on my door. It's Coach Braun. He's like, I'm not letting you miss this. Are you crazy? Exactly what he said to me. And he picked me up, gave me the uniform. Here, you coming to play. And that told me how special people are where I'm from. Now, I know I was a great athlete, but I really think they truly wanted to see me be successful. So those things what stick out to me. When I got kids, don't have a ride, so I found a way to get them a ride. Because I remember those times where I didn't have a ride, or when a friend had to take me home, a friend had to pick me up. It's just those moments in life taught me that it's going to be okay. It's always a way out. It's always an answer that gets you to where you need to go. You just got to believe. You got to trust the process. I know it sucks sometimes. It does. It did. You know, not having that love, that feeling that everybody wants. But the sport itself helped me get that feeling, you know. I love scoring 2-3 touchdowns a game. You know, I love when somebody told me congratulations after the game. It didn't have to be a parent. It's just hearing it. No matter who it comes from, sometimes it can always change your life. Mm-hmm. That's what I took from every coach that I played for, every person that helped me along the way. It's just those moments helped build me to become the man I am today.
Did you say you won 4 state championships at Leroy?
Yeah, I won 3 in football and 1 in baseball.
Wow. That's cool. That is incredible. Coach, let me ask you this. I believe you are the first coach that we've sat down on this tour that has played in a national championship game and also played in Iron Bowl several times.
Yeah.
Tell us what that feeling, what was that like?
You know, the Iron Bowl was bigger than a national championship to me, I think. So the reason why the Iron Bowl was so big, being from Alabama, that's all you knew growing up. I ain't watched the national championship growing up. I watched the Iron Bowl. You know, like, the Iron Bowl was the championship for kids growing up. Like, I seen people win or lose the Iron Bowl. Nobody cared about the national championship. They still talking about the Iron Bowl. So it's like, for me, being from Alabama, getting a chance to play for Auburn or had the chance to go play for Alabama, it was special. Being the guy that I am and knowing that I loved Alabama growing up, then getting a chance to go to Auburn and become an Auburn man and go destroy Alabama, it means something to me. Like, it does. Like, because Alabama never offered me. They brought me up to games and didn't offer me, and I was an Alabama fan. So it's like, dang, that's how they feel about me? So when I went to Auburn, there's always a grudge there. Like, the last time I played him, I put 205 yards with 4 catches. It's like, you gonna know I was here. And it's like one of those things. So it was just special to me. I wish my dad could have seen me play that Iron Bowl, because it was one of those things that we did. But you know, just like everybody, my family, my brother's an Alabama fan. It's like it's just that feeling you can never undo that. So that's what made it special, just being from Alabama and knowing your whole life it was an argument on November 26th or whatever day that's used. Yeah. After Thanksgiving, like, it was an argument after that Iron Bowl. Like, I played in that game.
Dad, listen, I got to clarify something.
Okay.
He just said he grew up an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
If Nick Saban extended that offer, would you have played at Bama?
It depends when it came. If it came before I went to Auburn, yes. But if it came after, it's a no.
Yeah.
Because Auburn offered me, so that offer I got from Auburn was because I went to a camp. And the story that got me to that camp is unique, because I was going to Southern Miss. I was committed to Southern Miss. Then one morning, it was during like the summer, you got the senior camps and stuff. My best friend, you know, he came over. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, man, we going to this camp. I was like, no, I ain't going. I'm going to Southern Miss. It's like, they ain't offering me, so I don't want to go give them my money. It's like $40 to go to this camp. He's like, no, you got to go. You got to go with me. Sorry, man. So we drive up. At the time, I still had some Alabama stickers on my car. So I get to the park. I said, man, I got to take these off. I don't know what's going to happen. We in Auburn. So I go out there, and they got like the number one corner in the nation there. They got some few other corners, like number 3, number 10. And it was me. Poor kid.
Let's go.
With no stars. I had 0 stars from robbery. And, you know, I get out there, and the first player of the game, of the camp, I maul somebody. That's like, nah, that ain't real. So he bring me back. The next play, I get jammed. Because I didn't know we was doing that kind of, like, you know, we in shirts and shorts. I didn't know we was jamming. So the dude that jammed me was like number one corner in the nation. I said, okay, that's how we doing it. So the next play, I go up, get past him, run a post, a safety in the middle of the field. The corner comes, both of them there. I jumps up, snatch it. After that play, Gene Chizik, Trooper Taylor, all the guys come grab me off the field and take me to Gene Chizik's office and say, hey, we offering you today. So I got my offer from Auburn at a senior camp. They put me to the side, put me in Chizik's office. Chizik offered me to play at Auburn. They said, you know what, you ain't even got to call Southern Miss. We'll call them for you. And that was it. And I went to Auburn after that. So that's how I got my offer.
Now that's a story there now.
That's really cool. That is
Super cool. So let's take all those experiences. Is there a certain experience that maybe a certain play, a certain game, a certain bus ride, a certain plane ride, is there an experience that when you think, that's a moment that changed my life?
I would say my freshman year, I broke my foot. And it kind of created a different person because I wanted to give up. And, you know, I had Brother Chip. Brother Chip was a chaplain at Auburn at the time. He recently passed. He brought me in his office. And I was like, Brother, I want to go home. Like, I can't play this year. I got a Liz Frank. The doctor told me I might not be able to come back from football. So it was like almost a career in it. Injury. You know, at the time, Liz Frank was like the hardest thing to come back from. So I'm sitting in Brother Chair office. He's like, Sammy, why you want to quit? He said, I can't play football. It's like, you think that what makes you unique? You think that what makes you special? He said, you special in all kinds of ways, and it ain't just because of football. And it hit me after that. It's like, why am I quitting on myself? Why even gave myself a chance? And that was the moment that struck me to the point of like, even if I fail, I gotta keep going. Even if something feels wrong, I gotta keep going. And after that freshman year, there's no turning back at that point. I was like, I'm gonna graduate. I'm gonna do good in football. I'm gonna make it to the NFL. I'm just gotta keep pushing. So I graduated in 3.5 years. I got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 3rd round. And all odds was against me. I went in the draft with a torn knee. Mm-hmm. I was hurt going into the NFL. I still was blessed to go in the 3rd round. So I'm like, it's meant for me to be here. And like, that was my turning point. Just sitting in that Brother Chet's office and him telling me simple words like, you are special without football. Those words changed my life because I started to realize I'm a unique person. I don't need football to be unique. I just need to continue to trust the process. And that's what I did. And that was like the turning point of me finding out who I truly am.
How awesome is it going to be that the words like Brother gave to you, the words like Coach Braun did for you, how awesome are you excited about thinking, I'm going to be there for one of these kids right outside this wall right now?
You know, it's funny. People always ask me, why did you take that job? Why did you want to go from college back to high school? I said, high school kids are innocent. 95% of the time, the decision they made for them, it's made for them. They don't get to make their decision. They can make it a practice or they can do this. And when I get a chance to save a kid from doing something that he don't supposed to do because he don't have the mindset to make that decision and I can guide him to the right decision, that's going to mean the world to me. Because I think about the coaches that pull me to the side. Hey, you got to keep playing sports. Or, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to get your grades right. Hey, you got a chance to go do something special. Those moments is why I took this job. I can take that kid and mold them to something special just like they did for me. You know, I had terrible grades. I hated school. Then I ended up graduating from Auburn University in 3 years. Like,
come on, man.
You know, is that special? You know, I had every reason to give up. I had all the things against me. I broke my foot in I broke my ankle in high school. I had everything to give up on. Every level I went to, something bad happened. I had a reason just to quit in a pro. I broke my hand when I'm on the best streak in my NFL career. I'm leading the whole NFL in yards at the catch, 46 to be exact, in the first 7 games. Like, it's going to break my hand. I have stitches at halftime in the Jets game. Like, everything's going against me. Then after that year, I had 3 surgeries in the offseason. I had every reason to quit on life and just fold. Even when I got to that level, 3 surgeries in the offseason is crazy. 2 knee surgeries to be exact on the same knee in 1 offseason. So it's like, what else can I do? I don't want, like, my body's giving up on me. I'm going to go coach. You know, I'm going to go give what I learned through that process. I might not have played 10 plus years like I wanted to, but I played. I might not have made all the plays I wanted to, but my first touchdown came from Ben Roethlisberger. You know, like, it's like, I'm thankful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how short or how much I didn't get to do, I got to do it. And that's what I want to sprint them these kids. Like, even if you play your last down in high school, you did it. You did it. You finished. You didn't quit. You finished all 4 years. You didn't quit when you had every reason to quit. You have not won a game in 10 years. You had every reason to give up these last 2 years. You didn't quit. You did it. So why not be the one that did it full throttle and finished it. And that's what we're going for, you know. And it's going to mean a lot to see one of those kids get to feel what it feels like to be proud you put the work in to get the outcome.
Man, I hope everybody listened, understands the strength of what he said a minute ago. Why would I quit on myself? I mean, wow. That just that message alone and all the adversity and everything else that comes along with it. Man, Coach, it's impressive.
Coach, if you could say, give me a definition. What's the definition of football and what it means to you?
The definition of football is life. And I give you that one word. That's what it is. You got to fight through when it's hard times. You got to trust somebody with their decision. They're going to put you in the right decision. They're going to put you in the right spot. You got to fight for somebody else that really don't have nothing to do with you once you leave this football field. Like, it's so much you have to do in an hour game. Football game is an hour. You know, like, think about that. I got to do so much in that hour to be successful. I got to be disciplined. I got to remember plays. I got to hold my anger. I gotta be a leader. I gotta calm somebody else down. I gotta worry about making sure he know what he's doing when I need to know what I'm doing. Like, it's so much going on inside this one game we call football with a little brown ball that we throw around for an hour. It teaches so much about life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the energy you have to put into this game just to win one game. Like, it teaches you how to do the little things right. And that's what you need outside of football. That's what you need in your everyday life. You got to make those decisions. That's the right decision. Now, with playing quarterback, you got to do the right read. But when you're making a decision about your family, you got to make sure you make the right read. Or it can jeopardize your house. It can jeopardize your car. It's just those things prepare you for what comes when football's in. And it did it for me. Like, my wife, my two kids, every day I had to make a decision. Right or wrong decision. But I know what decision I'm making affects somebody else. In football, the quarterback makes the wrong read, it can get somebody hurt. Off the line, go the wrong direction, get somebody hurt. The details into the life you have to put into football is just like my everyday life. And that's why I just say the definition of football is life.
Making the right read. That's strong. I've got a question before we're going to go back to Auburn for a second. Tell the listeners, what was that moment like? I hate the moment myself personally, but... tell us what it was like to be on the field when that kick six went down.
That game had so many emotion roller coasters in it for me as a player. I didn't have the game I wanted, but then I scored a touchdown that tied the game up before the kick six happened. So that game was already emotion. It's up and down, touchdown, then a touchdown, then a touchdown, then a stop. And it come down to that for 1 second. And Nick Saban making an error. It's kind of like crazy. He never makes a mistake. You see Nick say, well, he called that timeout. Everybody on the sideline. I was like, what was he thinking? Going to overtime. Like, we have to do everything at you. Like, I'm going to overtime in this game. He called a timeout to kick that field goal. I said, something ain't right. Like, in your head, he's like, why did he do that? And fought to get it 1 second back. I was like, okay. Because I thought the kickers were just going to miss it. And we're just going to go into overtime anyway. But... as a college player at that time, you didn't think about Chris Davis getting put back there to treat it like a punt. Who was thinking that at that time, in the moment of that game, in the fourth quarter with 1 second? Who in their mind, our coaches, they already had a plan. So I'm looking at it like, they were prepared for this. Everything that year told me that being prepared and knowing what's going on and being in the right moment at the right time, it can win you games. That moment, having a coach in the right mindset to understand, hey, we can put somebody back there to catch the ball. Those things would make football great. So you look up and you see, I'm looking the opposite way because I'm like, okay, we've got to go into overtime thinking about what I can do to help this team win. I just hear the crowd going crazy. Like, it just started like a low volume. Then it's like when you like playing with like some digital things and fix a video and you have to play the volume to make it up and down, the crowd just started low. It's getting real loud, getting real. I can't even hear myself thinking he about on about the 20, opposite 20. He's going to score. I can hear it. Like, it's like crazy. He scores. That place like goes nuts. By the time I stood up, half of the crowd was already on the field. Like, it was insane. Like, the timing, like, it's just like, it was like a movie.
Yeah.
And after that, it was like, what can get any better than that? You know, what could? You know, then we go win the SEC championship. Like, dang, like,
let's go.
It was special. That year was special. That team was special. We were super close. That's probably why we did the things we did. And I remind my players of that season because the year before that, we went 3-9.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
We about had the same team besides Nick Marshall.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you come together as one, you start doing the work you need to do together, you can change anything with anything. Because football is not about how much talent you got, how much you're willing to do. And I think a lot of teams forget that. I think I need the talent. No, you need a lot of guys doing the right things at the right time. Yeah. That's football.
That's football.
And what he said a minute ago, I mean, you think about in that moment, which is an iconic moment that'll live in history, the Auburn coaches made the right read.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Coach, you're new to the area, North Alabama, not from here, but you're new to this area. How's it going, man? You like North Alabama? Does it feel like home yet? Or?
Huntsville is awesome. It's a lot of unique people here. You know, it's an engineer's place, so you can tell. Great places to eat. Great places to just go hang out. I love it. It's good for the kids. I go to Back 40 all the time. It's a great place to take the kids. It's a lot of great places just to go do things. You know, we got good fishing areas, you know.
Yeah.
The neighborhoods are pretty cool. There's a lot of neighborhoods. There's a lot of them. They keep putting them up like it's freaking, yeah. I don't know, like they putting up flowers in a garden. Like they just keep throwing them up. But I'm meeting a lot of good people. There's a lot of Auburn people here. That's what I love the most. So it's going good.
Yeah. Wife and daughters enjoying the move and everything.
Yeah, so I got two boys, and my wife is a stay-at-home mom. She does a great job with those two boys. I got a 7-year-old, got a 2-year-old. They both insane. A lot of energy.
Next Sammy.
Yeah, they are super blessed to me. You know, they're the reason why I keep going. So,
I bet the 7-year-old's all over this field house.
Ah, man. That's why I can't bring up it all the time. They be trying to break stuff. You know, man,
Is he playing youth football?
No. My oldest might not play football. He's one of those kids. He's super smart, but he loves, like, videos. Like, he want to be a YouTuber. Yeah, you know, I ain't going to force him to play sports. I think he's going to grow into starting to play sports. But I told him, I said, dude, you ain't got to do what I did.
Yeah.
You know, like, find your own way. Like, I know a lot of people force their kids, but football's, it's a hard sport.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's a lot of pain come with that. I got a lot of surgery. I got 8 surgeries. I hurt some more. It's like, I told my kid, do what's best for you.
I want to ask you this question. August 22nd, you're a first-year head coach. Never been a head coach before. August 22nd, I'll be at that game because it's at Priceville. Are you nervous? The first time you put on a headset as a head coach, what are you looking forward to the most?
I told my coaches, I said, I'm going to manage the game. I want y'all to worry about the plays that's been called in the game. We meet a lot. I've been in so many games, man. I played in front of 86,000 people, and I played in front of 100,000 people. The game don't make me nervous. I'm nervous for the players. I don't know how they're going to react to, you know, having that much pressure with me being a coach. So, knowing that every team we play, they're not trying to beat you. They're trying to beat me. And that's why I have to explain it now. I say, you're going to get everybody best because you're playing against me as your head coach. And on top of that, they don't want to lose you, but me being the first win, it's going to make that coach feel like, oh, I got to prove that I'm a good coach type because I played in the NFL. I did those things. And, you know, everybody got a little that competitive side to you. Like, if I beat Sammy, he played at Auburn, he played in the NFL, like, I'm a decent coach. Like, I'm telling the players, like, you're going to get the best plays calls against you because I'm your coach and y'all haven't won a game. So I'm nervous for the players. I know they going to be nervous. I'm excited. I told him about the day I was in there. We had like a little assembly.
He looks excited.
I love football. Like, it's nothing like it.
Yeah.
It's nothing like it.
I'm with you, Coach. There's nothing to me, which is why I love doing what we do, is a Friday night. The lights coming on, the band's playing, the cheerleaders are cheering, the fans, and the smell of the concession stands. And, you know, there's people that have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old boy running around playing. Man, there's just everything about it to me is just amazing.
That's awesome.
And I'm super proud of you
of wanting to take your experiences and take your knowledge. Because when it comes to football, Sammy Coates has got the experiences and the knowledge, for sure.
No doubt. Well, and he hit the nail on the head. And it's almost, you know, you hear all the time that, hey, boy, they made a home run hire. And there's no doubt Columbia has made a home run hire here. But what it does, too, even though, you know, you've got this background and then this losing streak and all the stuff that people want to talk about, but what it does with you on the sideline, it puts a lot of pressure on the other team and not so much pressure on you guys.
Yeah. So we going into the season, just I want to make these kids understand it's bigger than football. If I told them, we don't win a game this year, you're going to win in life. So my job is not to be a football player, but to be a young man. And that's my goal as a head coach. I'm not trying to build football players. Football players are temporary. I'm trying to be a man that once football ends, they still got something to look forward to. And that's going to help them win. It's going to give them a different edge, but that's what a football is. Like, it's one of the things that makes you become a man.
Yeah.
Win it life.
All your career, and we'll wrap it up, but in your career, I'm sure you've heard so many phrases, so many sayings that were probably on your shirt, under your pads, on walls everywhere. Do you have a saying or a phrase that you just drill into these kids?
When I first took this job, the biggest thing I could think about is the one saying that a lot of teams use, we not me.
We not me.
We not me. It's not about you no more. That's what it's been for the last 10 years. It's been about one person. You can tell. Like, I walked in the building, I can tell everybody was out for themselves. Man, it's a we. It's we. The me is non-existent in this team. You can't have me. You gotta have all of us.
By the way, do y'all watch the Little League World Series?
Yes.
So last night, Hawaii was playing Northern California. And the back of the jerseys on every one of the Hawaiian players didn't have their names. It said, we greater than me. Every single player.
That's good. That's perfect.
Perfect. And when you said that, that's immediately what I saw was those Little League players with that jersey on. Mm-hmm.
Coach, I'm looking on the walls here. I see a picture of Yadalver catching a pass and dunking a Texas A&M player. Got you here at the Steelers. When you got drafted by the Steelers, were you a Steeler fan? Or are you a Steeler fan?
The funny thing about that, I was not an NFL fan. I grew up a baseball fan. You know, Triple Jones, Andrew Jones, all those guys. Yeah. Derek Jeter, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, like Ken Griffin Jr. Like, I was a baseball guy. Like, A-Rod, like those guys. That's what I used to always want to be like Sammy Sosa. I used to always want to be like Ken Griffin. My bandstand was Ken Griffin, standing straight up. Baseball is all I watched. You know, football was just things I did with my friends. You know, all my friends was playing football, so I played football. And I guess I kind of I just kept going with it. To be honest, my baseball coach in high school wanted me to play college baseball so bad. Like, he tried to do everything to get me to go play baseball. I just couldn't do it. And it's one of the hardest things I could have done, but it was hard.
Well, Coach, I want to tell you, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. I know you guys are having practice right now. And we appreciate you being able just to, you know, let your coaches kind of get the practice going, to sit down with Tracy and I. And I know the listeners are excited to get to know who Sammy Coates is. And I can tell you, listeners, if you're listening, he's real. You're about this for the right reasons. And I can see it in your eyes. I can see the excitement. I can see the emotion when you're talking about growing up and all that good stuff. I'm excited for the Columbian Eagles and what you plan on doing here. And thank you for being you. Thank you for that.
Thank
you
all for having me. I enjoyed it. It was a great time.
Yeah, it was an honor sitting down with you, and we wish you and the team best of luck this season.
Thank you all so much.
Yep. That's Sammy Coates, folks, with Columbia High School. My town.